Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
The You by Moen Smart Faucet is the only faucet that gives you exactly what you ask for. Ask Moen to top off my nightcap.
Pouring half an ounce of water at 54 degrees.
Visit Moen.com for more.
Running to them bins, I probably made a thousand trips. Thinking to myself like I just need something to give. Praying on my downfall, they wish I wasn't here. Lost my cousin and my best friend, done shed a thousand tears. The life that they be talking, man, I promise I done did that. Provide for all my little ones, that's just me, I gotta give back. Get the call, show up when you go to see him, big rat. Acting like you with it, I know you ain't really with it.
Back again, No Cupcake Zone Podcast. You already know what it is, man. Anyways, man, we got Adam Fisher on the phone today. Yeah, man, we doing a high school football preview, man. We only going with Collier County today, but I'm gonna get Adam Regan sooner or later on the show. You already know what it is, man. Holla at your boy, man. It's your boy Triple BLACK, aka the number one stunner, aka three black hearses. It's murder. Anyways, man, hey, we about to get Adam Fisher on the line. Holla at your boy, man. Let this ride, man. Shout out to Junior Boy, man.
Lost my cousin and my best friend, done shed a thousand tears. The life that they be talking, man, I promise I done did that. Provide for all my little ones, that's just me, I gotta give back.
Let's go. We got Adam Fisher back in the building. No Cupcake Zone Podcast. You already know what it is. Man, round of applause to Adam.
What's up, Johnson?
Man, I'm having technical difficulties in life right now without any football. Hey, man, I had to get you on here, man, for a number of different reasons, man. I see people doing podcasts. I'm not going to name any names, and I felt some type of way about it. There's a couple podcasts out there. You know, people are doing big things. You know, No Cupcake Zone has been around for a long time, and I've seen people lapping me. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I got to call Adam to get the exclusive. That way I can try to take my spot back, man. Can you take us out of the state of confusion? I don't even know. One day we're playing, one day we're not, one day we might have fans, and one day only. No, that's another thing. But anyways, man, shout out to the administration at Collier County in high school administration in general for keeping us confused, because yes. You want to talk about keeping a defense or an offense off balance. They've kept us off balance, man. Can you give us some clarity?
I'm going to try. But first off, I do want to tell you, it is good to be back. As far as I know, No Cupcake Zone was the first high school sports podcast in Southwest Florida, predating even my podcast that I have now, the Inside Southwest Florida Football. So shout out to you for starting this thing. You're right. You are
Thank
the godfather
you.
Of the
Round of
local podcasting guest. So when it comes to the football season, man, you're right. So much has been up in the air. It's been going back and forth. We didn't know if we were going to have a season, and then we didn't know when. we're starting to get some clarity, but a lot of it is still up in the air. So games are going to play. There's going to be football. The private schools are going to start September 4th, which is the first day the FHSAA has said there can be games. The public schools are being a little bit more cautious. They are not going to start practice until August 31st. Games will start September 17th and 18th. As of right now, Collier County is not allowing fans to their games. That's always up for review. They can change it based on, you know, the coronavirus numbers in Collier County. Lee County has not decided as of yet. And as far as I know, the private schools, which they can do whatever the heck they want, they are going to allow fans. So starting September 4th, we will have games to talk about.
So basically, they've taken, you know, the approach of a lot of celebrities and you know, broke entertainers and stuff like that. So we're getting the OnlyFans treatment.
Well, it's funny you say that because they are going to be streaming their videos online, so it is kind of similar.
Yeah, so we're OnlyFans. So, hey, you know what? If you didn't subscribe to OnlyFans, guess what? You are probably subscribing to OnlyFans if you want to watch football. Wow, they're taking that.
You're going to have to. And they haven't announced how they're going to do it. They've just said, at least in Collier County, I'm not sure about Lee County, they are going to stream their football and volleyball games. Now, I know that the National High School Federation has come out with some plans. They're going to help a lot of these schools do this. Now, are they going to charge for that? I imagine they will, but I don't have any word on that as we speak right now.
I thought basketball a couple months ago was confusing. This is really confusing. It's, to me, it's pretty cut and dry. I don't think anything is going, the coronavirus is not going anywhere anytime soon. So, to me, it's almost kind of ridiculous how they've had 5 months of thinking about this. And, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry to me. I mean, either we're playing football or not playing football. What do you think?
Well, and that's what people are saying. Like, well, it's safe to have kids in schools, at least safe enough to open up the schools. And it's safe to have the kids out there playing football, then why are we not having fans in the stands? Where a football game is probably the most safe kind of athletic event when it comes to the coronavirus and socially distance, because, you know, football stadiums are huge. And if you have a couple thousand people, they can spread out. So, if you're going to play football, you know, why are fans not allowed? That's what a lot of the parents are saying, and obviously just the fans. So we'll see how it goes. It is something that Collier County has said they will address, you know, from time to time, and they could change it up. They could allow limited capacity, as we've seen some NFL stadiums say they're going to do. Again, and it changes from day to day. We still have a couple weeks before the first game, so it could be different by then.
Man. So, let's get to the meat and potatoes of the football, man. Have you got to any camps lately?
So right now, no. I was at First Baptist today. It's the first day of practice. The Collier schools, again, are not letting fans into the stands, so they're not letting media out to their practices. So I have not yet. I am familiar. We've studied up on the teams. I've talked to some coaches. I know, as I said, on the first day of practice, I was at First Baptist. And they got high expectations, man. First Baptist is going to be a very good small school team once again this year. And there's a lot of other talent throughout Collier County this year.
Yeah, man. First Baptist, they had a freshman quarterback last year, and they made a playoff. Did they get to, like, the second round?
So, no, they went 10-0 in the regular season with the freshman quarterback, but they were very, very young. They only had three seniors on their roster. Now, when they got to the playoffs, they lost at home to Moorhaven, who they had just beaten a few weeks before in Moorhaven. So First Baptist lost at home in the first round. A little disappointing, but again, they were very young. They only lost three seniors. One of them didn't even play. So they have basically all their skill kids back at First Baptist from a team that went undefeated in the regular season last year. So again, very high expectations for the Lions.
Hey man, let me bust a couple shots at you. Shout out to Lee County, man. Shout out to my brethren over in Lee County. You know, we're going to get Adam Regan on the show, you know, eventually. But anyways, hey, man, I heard First Baptist gave, was it ECS that work last year? They were supposed to be stacked. You know, everybody was supposed to be running in their boots. They had Rosales. They had Lindsay. They had a whole bunch of people. You know, they basically had a pro squad over there, and I guess FBA was not feeling it and gave them that work, man. Did you hear about that last year, Lee County? Shout out to you guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're talking about high school football last year, especially at the low level, I mean, there's no secret. ECS had those big expectations. They had a lot of kids coming in, a lot of transfers. They had Ernest Graham, former NFL running back, as their head coach, and it didn't play out that way. First Baptist was the opposite. They were one of the biggest surprises in all of Southwest Florida. They played the first game last year. FBA beat them 27-12. I'm looking at the schedule right now. That's not off the top of my head. But, yeah, ECS, man, they had that big transfer from Immokalee and a bunch of other really good kids, and they missed the playoffs, went 4-6 last year.
Wow, man. And I also heard that they lost their coach too, man. There's like – Big changes in Collier County. I mean, this coronavirus from a media standpoint has probably wreaked havoc on your career right now, hasn't it?
Well, it's definitely made my job a lot more boring. I mean, there's definitely a whole lot for me to cover. I've been writing a lot of stories about, you know, what we talked about at the opening of the show about just what is going to happen, and there's been no definitive answers. So I'm very tired of writing the what-if stories and no one knows. So it's very nice right now to be able to actually go out to some football practices, to talk to coaches just about football, not about, you know, coronavirus and all the other junk. Just it's awesome to focus on football. And there's still obviously a lot of things in the air. We're going to be doing a lot of coronavirus stories throughout the year for sure. But, man, I'm anxious just to see teams hitting each other on a Friday night.
Yeah, man. I mean, you had two monster stories you probably would have covered, you know, had everything been, normal, you know, we know that you get – let me bust a couple shots at some of your haters. We know that you get accused of your love for Naples High. You know, one of the biggest stories this offseason is Coach Kramer and the new regime. You know, they lost Dollar the other year, but the new regime is in there. I mean, that's a huge story in itself. That's 21 years or 20 years of history pretty much changing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at the time, you know, Coach Bill Kramer, Naples High School, two-time state champion head coach, he resigned in November, and that was huge. I mean, that would in any other year, that would shape the entire landscape of a season. You got a young guy stepping in, and Rick Martin, first-time head coach. Again, young dude. He's only 35, 36 years old. This is the first time since I was in high school, and I believe when you were in high school,
right,
that Naples High had Bill Kramer on the sideline.
Yeah, Kramer was my senior year, and, you know, that was 20-some years ago, man. Damn, I didn't want to say that out there. I'm feeling old.
1998 was the year Bill Kramer started there. This is the first year since 1997 he has not been there. Now, what is very interesting, as I said, they do have a young head coach, a guy named Rick Martin. But surprisingly, Rick has been there the exact same amount of time as Bill Kramer. He was a freshman in 98.
Yeah.
He was a senior on that 01 state championship team. And after he graduated, he came right back. He's been an assistant coach at Naples ever since then. So he's a guy that can continue that kind of golden eagle way. He can carry on the traditions that Bill Kramer installed in there. But, man, a ton of pressure for a first-time head coach. That's tough to handle.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a big shoes to fill. You know, he was actually a freshman when I was a senior. So He played on the freshman team. I remember that. They call him Baby Dollar. Dollar's little baby son. I guess he's been groomed for this position for a long time. But the thing about it is Bill Kramer's legacy is like it's legendary when it comes to Florida sports. What he has done with Naples High is it's a very, 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 very big feat. Because people underscore how hard it is to win two state championships. Shout out to Lee County. You know, I like to bust a couple shots, which has zero state championships in football. Mm-hmm. And Naples has two and has been to, I think, like two state finals, too. So that is a challenging feat. And I don't know how many district titles and regional titles. I mean, can you even quantify the legacy of a Bill Kramer?
Well, it's tough. You talk about a guy that just recently was inducted into the FHSAA Hall of Fame. He's also in the FACA, the Florida Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Yeah, averaged, 10 wins a year for 20 years. And I think people take that for granted. You know, I moved down here to Florida in 2007, the year Naples won their second state championship. And Naples was already entrenched as the boss on the Florida football scene, and or at least the Southwest Florida football scene, and they just dominate every year. Well, before Bill Kramer got here, Naples had one winning season in 10 years. They were not good when he got here, and he has taken them to the top. And it's people assume that's just going to continue, and it will for a while. They still have a lot of good guys, good coaches in that program, but man, it's tough to do that on a consistent basis. Year to year to year to year, which is what Bill Kramer has had. And I'm very intrigued to see what happens in the next, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in Naples High School.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I don't want to actually just – I mean, I don't want to take anything from Lee County. But like, you have, like, coaches like Sam Seriani and Sam Seriani Jr. that are absolute legends in the state that, if you probably ask any coach – within the state or even in the southeast region of United States, they know who like Sam Seriani is, or Fort Myers High School. They know who Lehigh's coach is, because those guys been a strong, I mean, they've done really well, throughout, the last couple of decades, but yet like, they don't, not to take away from their legacy, they actually don't even have any state championships over there. And, in Collier County, we have three state championships because Immokalee got a chip. But that just tells you how great the man is. Like, imagine in Lee County, how many athletes, how much talent has came out of that county? Hello?
You there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, you back?
You there? Can you hear me, Johnson?
Yeah, I can hear you. You can't hear me?
Oh, sorry. I can now. It broke up for a second. It was breaking up for a second.
Yeah. No, I was just I'm trying to big up Coach Kramer, but I'm not trying to take anything away from Lee County. I take a couple shots at them, but like they actually have like the number one running back in the country, recruiting wise, at Lehigh. And I think they have like the number one safety with Deshaun Russ or something like that. Dunbar has like the number one of the like top five safeties in the country. But they always, like throughout their schools, always had like tremendous talent. And, it's just surprising that, somebody like Bill Kramer has, two chips and, with all the legendary teams that came out of Lee County, they haven't, got a championship yet.
Well, and look at the flip side. Naples, for as great as they've been, they have not produced a ton of individual talent. When you're talking about, at a huge, Power 5 FBS level, of course, Carlos Hyde obviously went to the NFL. You got guys like Tyler Bird, who went to Tennessee, but I mean, they did it down there with just a program setting. They got every kid to buy in, and they may not have the individual talent to say a Lehigh, who has just studs right now, a ton of Power Five guys, or Dunbar. But you were mentioning earlier the playoff wins. Yeah, it's amazing. If you look what, I'll have to look back, but when Bill Kramer retired and looked at all his numbers, you know, he won something like 50 playoff games. 50 playoff games.
Right.
There's not a lot of coaches in Carter County right now that have won 50 regular season games. And if you add up all the playoff wins of all the high schools in Carter County outside of Naples, it doesn't equal half of that. It's amazing. It just goes to show you what he's built there. And again, that just understates the incredible pressure that is on a guy like Rick Martin, who's taking over that program at Naples.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. And you know what? Let's switch lanes for a little bit. Mockley lost an important piece to their team. They have a new coach too.
They have a new coach and Johnny Smith, who's a guy who played at Immokalee and actually still owns the Immokalee single game rushing record, like over 300 yards back in 1989. Johnny Smith was an assistant for Mark Ivey and Ed Baron Collier. And then Smith went up to Michigan. He'd been there for the past 8-9 years. So he's back. He's got a big task ahead of him, man. Immokalee went 3-7 last year, missed the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. We talk about big expectations. I mean, you're expected to win in Immokalee, but it's different now, man. I mean, Immokalee's up in 6A now, and they don't have the kids. They have a smaller roster. It's just very difficult out there. So Johnny Smith coming in, hoping to turn that program around from what Rodland Anthony was able to do the past couple of years.
Yeah, man, Johnny Smith. I've heard that name before, but think about the legacy of backs that came out of Immokalee. You have Edrin James, you got Javaris James, you got Walter James, you got Walter Campbell, you got Ernest Johnson, you got Walter Senior. I mean, way back in the day, I mean they've always had a great legacy of backs, and he's got the all-time rush single game rushing record.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because I'm looking at my story that we wrote when Johnny Smith took over, and I even wrote that just at a school that is known for having great rushers. He's one of the top running backs to ever come through there. In 1989, Smith led the state in rushing with 2,116 yards, second only in single-season rushing at Immokalee to, of course, Edrin James. So, yeah, he was a stud, and he went on to play at Appalachian State. He's been coaching for the past 20 years, so he's got big expectations coming back to his hometown. It's just a matter of if he can get the kids out. I mean, Immokalee's always going to have individual talent, but if you only got 30 players on a 6A roster, that's not going to cut it.
Oh, man. I hope they're not in Dunbar's district, because I heard Dunbar's loaded this year. And, you know, that's usually the team that they have to go, head-to-head with, to win the district. But, oh. I hope they don't play them. No, I was kidding.
So, yeah, Dunbar is loaded once again. They got talent. We talk about individual talent. We do our big 15 list every year of the best recruits in Southwest Florida. You mentioned the safety, Sean Russ, who's ranked in the top five in his class. He's only a sophomore. But it is going to be interesting. Right now, that's another thing to talk about, is all these teams are still trying to piecemeal together these schedules because everything got scrapped. No team is going to play teams from out of area. So it's mainly just Collier teams playing Collier teams with a fill-in here and there with Lee County teams. So it's going to be a very interesting year when you talk about just, all these teams are playing each other.
What a year for Coach Kramer to retire. I heard that Miami has taken themselves out of the playoff picture. So it could have been another chip.
Well, you're right. Who knows? Miami obviously is a big coronavirus hotspot. They're not predicted to be able to play sports anytime soon. if that happens, then the FHSAA is going to kind of reclassify the teams that are left in the state playoffs here in, you know, the end of September. And then we'll see what happens. You know, maybe though, even though the Miami's out of the way, maybe Naples has to go up with against some of the Tampa schools or the Orlando schools. Mm-hmm. We don't know, man. So, as we talked about before, a ton of unknowns going into the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably been very tough, you know. You know, I kind of just want to make this show like a general knowledge show of what direction it is. I mean, what are some, I guess, some things that you have found out about the different school and their personnel and their players and things like that? Because I know you haven't been able to really be in, you know, close, intimate contact with a lot of the schools. But just tell us what you know. Who to look out for?
So I mentioned First Baptist when we're talking small schools. I am excited about them. I think they're going to be good again. Naples, you know, for losing Coach Kramer, one of the reasons he left is because he felt he could step away and the program would go on without him. I think they're still very talented, probably, you know, the odds-on favorite to be the best team in Carter County. Got a ton of guys back on defense, even though they lost some guys on offense. So I would still pick Naples to beat most teams in the area. The team to watch out for, man, and I don't want to put any more expectations on them than they already have, but Palmetto Ridge. Palmetto Ridge looked really good.
You know what? I hear you on that, man. You know, they have a stud at running back. They have a stud wide receiver. I don't know what their quarterback position is looking like, but you know,
so
you
mentioned that because their quarterback, Evan Rodriguez, he was hurt last year at the beginning of the season. He caught a concussion. He was out 5 games, so they had to start a freshman. Palmetto Ridge goes 0-5 with a freshman at quarterback. That's insanely difficult to have a freshman at quarterback in a 6A school. Rodriguez comes back. They win 4 straight games. They finish 4-1, almost make the playoffs. Rodriguez is back along with, as you said, their stud running back, Jaden Booker, Kamonte Grimes, who's going to Nebraska, Malik Dudon at receiver. They got a big tight end in Caleb Cousins. I mean, they're stacked on offense, and they've got some dudes on defense too. So big expectations for the Bears. It's just a matter of if they can live up to the pressure.
Yeah, big pressure. Well, one other team that I heard, you know, they got some new, you know, they got some new coaches. You remember Jacques Carter's father? I heard he's an offensive coordinator over at Golden Gate, and you remember they were putting a lot of points up at Laley and Palmetto Ridge. Did you hear anything about that?
Yes, that's right. I heard that Alan Carter is the offensive coordinator over there at Golden Gate, and you know, when he was at Laley before and Palmetto Ridge, they put up points. Now, a lot of that had to do with his son, Jacquez Carter, who went on to a Southern Missouri State. So we'll see. Golden Gate is a team that was, you know, pretty decent last year for a team that didn't have a lot coming back, and they lost their head coach. Nick Bajica was in his first season last year. He's back for his second season. They do have their quarterback back, Joaquin Acuna, who as a quarterback rushed for like, you know, 800 yards last year. They have a really good transfer in their coach was excited about. I'm trying to find his name. Jayshon Naw, I believe, is what Coach Bajica said the guy's name was, a free safety and wide receiver. So Golden Gate kind of suffered from the same problem Immokalee had last year, just the roster size. You know, you got 40 guys on varsity. It's tough sometimes. So we'll see if Coach Bajica can get those numbers up and kind of create that excitement around the program.
So what's been called – I mean, that's one interesting question. Is it just the redistricting and things like that? Has that been causing the smaller roster size, or is it you think just the coronavirus has done that? Because that's kind of odd that, you know – some of these teams are having trouble, you know, fielding, you know, larger rosters.
So it was a problem before the coronavirus, and it is kind of program specific. And I think a lot of it happens when you do have coaching turnover. It's tough to build a program and create that excitement to staff, you know, 3-4 levels. freshman, JV, and varsity rosters, any coach that comes in, they talk about building a culture and building a program. That's what they've been able to do at places that have longtime head coaches, like Naples High School, for example. Barron Collier has big numbers. Mark Jackson is entering his sixth season there, so he's been able to kind of build that excitement. A place like Golden Gate, they lost their coach last year, and Coach Bajica comes in, and he's kind of starting from scratch. So it's tough, man, and any coach will tell you, they think kids today, they're just not into putting in the hard work that it takes to be committed to football, because it's basically 12 months a year. Yeah. And they kind of lament how today's generation of kids don't want to do that as much as the older kids wanted to. If there's truth to that, I don't know. That's just what the coaches say.
Yeah, bro. Man, Laylee, tell us what you know about Laylee. I have a nephew. I'm not going to comment on that because it's going to seem like I'm being very biased, man. Shout out to Stanley Hippolyte. That's my nephew. Yeah. He was the starting quarterback last year. Tell us what you hear about Laylee. I could just tell you really quickly, they have an athlete on that is probably one of the best athletes I've seen on the basketball court. I've seen him play a little bit of football, but this guy is like tremendous. I mean, just based on what he's done on the basketball court, he's getting football scholarships. Tell us what you know about him.
Talking about J.J. Derville.
Yes.
Yeah, he was putting a big highlight on the basketball court last year, and that kind of opened some colleges' eyes to just his athleticism, and his speed and leaping ability. He played a little bit of quarterback last year as well. When Hippolyte went down and Dudon was hurt, Derville filled in. He did a little bit of everything. Him and a guy named Sergio Morrison, two big, tall guys, that have been getting Division I offers, both play defensive back. So they have some talent there. Laylee was one of the biggest surprises last year, after they went 2-8 in back-to-back seasons. A new coach comes in, J.J. Everidge from Kentucky. He takes them. They went 6-4 in the regular season. They made the playoffs. First time Laylee had made the playoffs in, I believe, 6 years. So they lost their quarterback in Dudon. They lost two really good linebackers from defense, but they do have a decent amount of guys back. I mentioned Morency, J.J. Derville. So they have some talent. Again, Laylee always has, individual talent. It's just a matter of, getting them coached up and to do the right things. And, Everidge has seemed to kind of turn that program around last year, at least.
Yeah, man. Hey, I tell you what, man, that guy, J.J. Derville, is exciting. And when I was watching his highlights in basketball and the way that he was just dunking on people, I was like,
yeah.
What? What's going on out here? You don't do that in high school, especially in Florida. I mean, there's some, stacked teams like out west or, in the New York area. But some of the things that this guy was doing was like, wow, what is going on out here?
Yeah, he's a specimen, man. And again, they got the talent. I will say with Laylee, the problem with them is their offense. Derville and Morency are both defensive backs, and they had a very good defense last year. But offensively, when it came down to it, they just couldn't keep up with people. They averaged something like 40 rushing yards a game, which is obviously not very good. So they'll need to look up how to increase that offensive output this year.
Oh, absolutely, man. Hey, moving on briskly, over to Barron Collier. Last year they had a, decent squad. Was this supposed to be the year that they get revenge on the goalposts?
It's going to be tough, man, because last year it did not end well for them. They started, I believe, 5-2, and they lost their final three games to miss the playoffs, including the last game of the season when all they had to do was win, they would have been in. But they lost, a little disappointing. They were hit hard by injuries. Last year they lost their best running back in Drew Powell. They had a receiver in Deshaun DeVerge who went down and got hurt. However, that allowed them to kind of break in some younger running backs, some other receivers come in. They do have a quarterback back in Dylan McNamara, who started as a freshman at community school quarterback. And last year he went to St. Thomas Aquinas, obviously football powerhouse, football factory. He didn't play a lot over there, but he's back in Carter County now. He's a quarterback at Barron. Other than that, I will say Barron's one of the teams I haven't been able to get a read on so far just yet. I haven't been able to talk too much about with Coach Jackson, Mark Jackson, who enters his sixth season. I haven't got a feel for the team yet and what all they have coming back and everything. So I don't know a ton. I saw they lost a quarterback and obviously Drew Powell last year, who was a very good running back.
You know what's another, and I don't want to make this the Coach Kramer show, but shout out to Coach Kramer. That is remarkable that it's been 20-something years since Barron has beaten Naples.
And, yeah, 1998 was the last time.
The thing about it is, other than Laley, when there was a hiccup in a Coconut Bowl, I think pretty much everybody in the Collier County has been in the same boat. Like Palmetto Ridge has never beaten Naples. Gulf Coast has never beaten Naples. Laley has one win on Naples in, you know, the last 20 years. Even our cross county people haven't beaten Naples in a while. North Fort Myers in Fort Myers, I think, are the only ones that, or South Fort Myers in the last 15, 20 years have, you know, taken them down. That's remarkable.
Yeah, it is. As you said, Barron, Golden Gate, Gulf Coast, Laley, Palmetto Ridge, none of them have beaten Naples in the past 11 years. Immokalee has a couple times. You got people wondering, is this their time? You know, now that Coach Kramer's gone from Naples, is it their time to get a shot? And interesting enough, very first game of the season, opening night, Naples at Palmetto Ridge. So, as I talked about, the big expectations for the Bears, can they hang with Naples, even keep it close? Everyone's going to be looking to that game, and that's their chance to kind of prove what they can do.
Yeah. Man, it looks like we ran through all the teams. Newman, what is the story on Newman?
Newman, again, a team that was very good last year, even when kind of expectations were low. They lost their stud, do-all-do-everything, Jensen Jones, who went to play at the Air Force Academy. So he was not there last year, but they still went 8-2 in the regular season behind quarterback Mike Joyce, who had a very good offensive season. They lost in the first round to Miami Christian, who is obviously a very, very good team from the East Coast. So I expect them to be very good again. Damon Jones comes back for his fifth season as the head coach there. He has not had a losing record yet. They went 5-5 his first season, and ever since then they've averaged, you know, 9 wins a year the past 3 years. So he's built a very good program there. They got the quarterback back and Mike Joyce. They got Kevin Pierre back at the running back spot. So they're going to be good again.
Man, can you tell us what do you think that separates some of those coaches? The thing about it is, it doesn't matter what bag of groceries that they get, they always make a good meal. Like you have FBA, Naples High, and St. John Newman, and it does not matter what the bag of groceries, they seem to always win. What do you think separates those programs from the other programs?
You know, when First Baptist first started, they didn't start a football program until 2009, and they won their first district championship just 4 years later, and they went undefeated. They went to the state semifinals, and I was doing a story about them, and a opposing coach said, you know, not only does First Baptist have the means to win, they have the will to win, which means they dedicated themselves to the football program. That means, you know, from top to bottom, it's having great athletic facilities, it's having great workout equipment, it's having great assistant coaches, allowing a coach like Billy Sparacio at First Baptist or Damon Jones at St. John Newman to go out and hire some good assistants. And I will tell you what helps is both Billy Sparacio at FBA and Damon Jones at St. John Newman are also the athletic directors. So they're able to control their program a little bit more than, you know, a public school coach might. So yeah, it's just that dedication. It's starting and forming a program, and it's consistency. I know Billy Sparacio at FBA, he's had the same defensive coordinator since day one, since they started. And offensive line guy, Ryan Mitchell, he's been there not since day one, but maybe since, you know, day two or three. Damon Jones has done his best to keep his staff together. So it's things like that. It's consistency, and it's really just, you know, forming a program and keeping the excitement buzzing around it.
Okay. All right. What do you think it's going to be, I guess, the long-term impact of this coronavirus on high school football? Do you think it's ever going to be the same again?
I think it will. I think eventually, you know, obviously I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I think we'll get it figured out. We'll either get a vaccine or figure out ways to kind of get rid of the virus. Now, this season is going to be a little bit different. One thing we haven't talked about, because every area of the state is different in terms of how they've been impacted by the virus and if they can start sports and when they can start sports. The FHSA has said basically, hey, you know, if you want to start playing, that's great. And tell us if you want to be involved in the playoffs. You don't have to, but if you want to be in the state series, let us know. Every team that opts to play in the state series in the FHSAA playoffs receives a bid into the playoffs. And I'm understood that all public schools in the area will. So every single team is going to get into the playoffs this year. And playoffs, since teams can't play a district schedule because they can't be required to play other district opponents, the playoffs are going to be decided by a blind draw. So there's no seeding. Naples, even though they're the number one seed, they might be undefeated, they don't automatically get the worst team. They could draw the second best team in round one. So it's going to be crazy. This year is going to be so much fun, assuming we get to complete it. Hopefully next year we look back and just think, man, you remember how weird 2020 was and everything's back to normal? I think eventually we'll get there. I don't think there will be too many long-term effects, but just enjoy this year as it happens, because it's going to be something we'll never see again.
Yeah, man, hopefully we'll never see it again, but you know what? My heart goes out to some of the seniors this year. Because it's got to be very difficult, because there's some kid out there right now that every year, you know, a kid makes a tremendous leap from spring football all the way to the end of the year, and sometimes it's the difference between NAIA to Division I. Man, do you think there's a lot of kids out here that are going to miss out because of this whole thing, and they just miss their opportunity?
I think it is going to be more difficult, especially for, like you said, those lower level kids, the NAIA kid that goes from NAIA to Division II or Division III. The college coaches are going to find the studs. That's not going to be a problem. People worried about, you know, Division I recruiting, not going to be a problem. And another thing to talk about, I mean, Division II, Division III, I don't know if they're playing football this year. If they are, they're not doing playoffs. So we could see a lot of smaller college football programs fold. Well, that's, you know, a couple hundred fewer scholarships to go around, or a couple hundred fewer spots on a college football team. So that could affect them in that way, yes, which is unfortunate. But again, hopefully, you know, in a couple years, it comes back to normal, but it could make for some heartbreak for the seniors of this year.
Man, no, I feel some of the probably the seniors' pain, because you know some people have probably been working, like, you know, there's probably teams that have been working, you know, the last 3 years, and they have everybody together, they have continuity, they have, you know, every, you know, position where they have a stud at every position, and now they just pretty much. I mean, it's the season is going to be, to me, it's a push. I mean, even if you do win the state championship, to me, you almost have to put an asterisk. I mean,
right,
I'm
right.
Sorry to say that. You know, just like if LeBron wins the NBA finals this year, which I think you got to put an asterisk on it.
Yeah, I agree. At least in the NBA, you know, it's the full complement of playoff teams competing against each other in seven-game series. This year in high school football, we don't know how many teams are going to be competing. And can you really say you won the high school championship if you didn't have to go through a Miami team? You know what I mean? If all those Miami teams aren't playing, if Miami Central isn't playing, then yeah, you're right. But you know what? They'll put it up on the scoreboard just the same. They'll be state champions just the same. But it'll definitely be different, and people will look back on it as such. But again, hopefully next year it's all back to normal.
Yeah, hopefully, man. Hey, man, before we close out, man, give me 2 to 3 players to watch out for. You know, that's bound to make a leap. And then 2 to 3 teams that really are going to turn some heads.
Ooh, great. Good question. So players to look out for. Obviously, everyone knows the studs. Kamonte Grimes committed to Nebraska. Devin Moore from Naples, who has offers from Michigan and Miami and all the ones. Two younger guys to look out for. You know, I really like Jaden Booker, the running back at Palmetto Ridge. This kid is a freshman last year, so you're talking a 14, 15-year-old. He ran for 1,100 yards. That's very hard to do as a senior. I like him a lot. He's just a sophomore right now. We mentioned the two Laley kids, J.J. Durbel, I think, the two sports star. I really like him. A guy we haven't talked about much, but who impressed me in spurts last year, Naples running back Dustin McGill. The main running back in Naples' running game is always going to get a lot of yards, and that's going to be him this year. So he didn't get a lot of carries last year because Naples had two seniors, and Elon Samala and C.J. Dietzel. But when Dustin McGill got the ball, he took advantage. He averaged 8 yards a carry. So that's probably the next running back star to come out of Naples. So I like him. That's a good individual player. Teams, I think we just mentioned Palmetto Ridge, First Baptist, you know, the typical culprit. And Naples is going to be until Naples loses to one of these teams we talked about, I can't pick them, you know, to lose. I can't pick Palmetto Ridge to beat Naples until they do. So it's still Naples' local title to defend.
So it's still Naples or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, until they lose, until a team proves that they can knock them off, yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, talk about your we'll leave it on that. Talk about your podcast, man. What's going on with your podcast, man, and what's going on with the newspaper, man? You know, I know you can't get into too much of that, but, you know, give us some insight, man. Plug your stuff.
Well, hopefully we can get back into just covering games and covering sports. As we talked about, I've been writing a lot about what might happen this summer, but now the football games are starting. Me and my cohort at the News Press, the Fort Myers News Press, we're in the same company now. Me and Adam Regan, we have our podcast we do weekly, the Inside Southwest Florida Football Podcast. We'll be doing that again this year. And then every Friday night, we'll be out there doing video, doing photos, covering Southwest Florida football as best we can.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, man. Man, I'm looking forward to doing, man. Hey, I think this is the fourth year that I've had you on here. So, man, thank you so much for coming through again, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, well, I always enjoy our time together. And again, man, you do a lot to promote the sports in Southwest Florida, and that's good for all of us. So we appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. And tell Regan that I'll be contacting him very soon to get him on there. You know what? The show that I do with Lee County, you know, I was on Big Dream Sports. You know, I like to take a lot of shots at Lee County, but, you know, I got love for him too. But tell him to be prepared, you know, especially I don't feel that area of the, you know, of the state gives us enough credit. So tell him to be ready for me.
We'll put him on notice. I already told him you'd be reaching out to him. So he is excited to make his debut on the No Cupcake Zone.
All right, man. For show. All right, Adam, man. You have a good night, man.
All right. Thank you so much for talking to me again.
All right, man. Later on. That was Adam, man. Man, this is I think this is the fourth time we've had him on here. Adam, great guy. I contacted him. And you know what? I told him, hey, I see a lot of people doing podcasts. And I remember I thought I was in the number one position. You know, I see a lot of people try to take my position. But, you know, hey, I'm back. Anyways. But anyways, man, look forward to the football season. I hope we have a football season. I mean, that would be pretty tragic, especially for the young kids out there. If we don't have a football season, but I hope we do. And you know, hey, we can't do it. If we can't do it, hey, Lord willing, whatever. Hey, everything happens for a reason. But anyways, man, this is your boy Triple BLACK. I'm back in the building again. I'm signing off. No Cupcake Zone. Holla at your boy.
Worried about keeping up with your fave friends all summer? Or posting every perfectly pink sunset you see? Don't sweat the connect. You can have it made in the shade with 4 lines of unlimited data for $100 a month. Scroll the staycation pics, find your new go-to takeout spot, or catch some rays on video chat. Whatever you and the crew are into, all the data makes it all that much better. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket Core acquired on 4 lines. Data speed limited to 3 megabits per second. Cricket may slow data speeds when the network is busy. Additional fees, usage, and restrictions apply.
New to Medicare? Start now. Go to MyHealthPolicy.com to learn about some of the top-rated Medicare Advantage plans in your area, including plans for $0 a month in plan premiums, low out-of-pocket costs, and expansive provider networks. If you're thinking about a Medicare Advantage plan, MyHealthPolicy.com is a great place to go to find a plan that meets your needs, learn more about your options, even talk with a licensed insurance agent. MyHealthPolicy.com.